Good morning and welcome to our online service. We are so grateful that you have invited us into your home this morning. What a great privilege we have to open the Word of God, to be able to share together and to be encouraged, to be transformed in our minds, to get our minds on heaven, on heavenly things, not just on our circumstances. It is many times in our life, like Peter, when Jesus said, come out and walk. And Peter walked upon the water. And next thing you know, he looked around and he looked at the circumstances. And he just, all he could say is, Lord, help. He saw himself drowning. And Jesus just looked at him and said, where is your faith? As he held him. I mean, in a sense, he was saying, look, you walked on water. What's shaking you now? And in our lives, we have to choose whether we're going to live by faith, by trust in God, or whether we're going to live a sort of reasonable life without God in the equation. And I hope by the time we end today, this morning, that we would have come to the place where our longing, the longing of our hearts, is one to trust God. To trust to be still at times like we are right now. To trust to take action at times like we are even in making videos. To trust to take action even like we are right now in the building and preparing to do the school. But faith, trust in God. Not just for other people, but for what God wants to do in our own, in and through our lives. May God bless you this morning. Let's worship and study the book of Habakkuk chapter 2.
The King above all kings. the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave.
Good morning. It's a great privilege to be able to open the Word of God together, and let's look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 4, 14, and verse 20. It says, "Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." In verse 14, it says, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." And verse 20 says, "But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him." Habakkuk had been praying. He had seen injustices around him. And he just cried out, "How long, Lord, must I see evil and call to you and you do nothing?" And then God answers him. God answers and says, "Oh, don't worry, I'm going to do a work. And you would not believe it if it was told you. I'm actually going to raise the Chaldeans, and I'm going to bring them into Israel, and they're going to take Israel away, and I'm going to produce a work. I'm going to help them to actually begin to walk differently with me." And Habakkuk's like, "How in the world can you take a nation that is more wicked and do this to Israel?" And then Habakkuk has to grab on to the character of God, to the very character of God, and says, "Oh, Lord, you are purer than to behold evil. Are you not from everlasting?" And he has to be brought to a place where he trusts God. He trusts his word. And we must see our circumstances that way. In our circumstances, we must see them in a way that we understand the circumstances not merely by what is happening to us, but what God is producing through the circumstances. History and the things that we experience in life can be best seen in the light of the kingdom of God, of history, of his story. All history is governed by God, and our lives are governed by God. And we need to realize that nothing is going to escape his attention. Jacob and Israel were able to say, "Oh Lord, it seems like you don't see what I'm going through." And God replies, "Why do you say your situation is hidden from my eyes?" And he says, "Oh, don't worry. You're going to grow weary, but I'm going to strengthen you." Perplexity in our situations is not strange. It is not new as we might think, that Christians or believing people, Old Testament, that they did not go through perplexity. They went through perplexity just like we go through perplexity. I think of John the Baptist, and he sent people to Jesus and said, "Are you the one?" While he's in prison, he's like, "Lord, I put my hope in you. I said you are the Lamb." And all of a sudden, it seems like things are not panning out like I thought they would. He was perplexed. The disciples, they get left everything and follow Jesus. And next thing you know, on the cross, they see Jesus die. And next thing you know, they find themselves completely perplexed. Israel in Egypt for 400 years as slaves, in the wilderness for 40 years, and in the promised land with enemies all around, no doubt were perplexed. We are being persecuted, they would have said, but he hasn't come through. And the temptation that can come to our life is that what came to the early Christians when Peter in 2 Peter writes that scoffers would come and they would look at the believers and they would say, where is the promise of his coming? Where is this God? In this situation, where is God? Just like people at the cross were saying to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, save yourself. Where is your God? And we must realize that everything, as we looked at last week, everything is moving forward. The very evil that man produces is going to be turned to good by the very sovereignty and goodness of God. A clear forecast in Revelation is given. Some caught up in details, but it should be a consolation to us, not to allow ourselves to be thrown into a panic, but actually that we'll be encouraged that the very things that God said would happen are happening. And the reality is that in our life, there's two ways of life. There is the life of reason without God, and that there's life of faith, the life of trust. And here in verse 4, we see that Habakkuk says, man, the wicked will be like this, but the just shall live by faith. And this little passage is quoted in the New Testament 3 times. It's quoted in Hebrews, in Galatians, and in Romans. And here in Hebrews 10:38, it says, now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. It is very important that in our lives we realize that there are two attitudes. One, where we live by mere human wisdom and human reason. And two, where we live with a reason beyond this world, which has God in the equation, which is called we live by faith. And you know what? There is this temptation in our life that we start by faith. We start as little children, but then all of a sudden we need to be just a little bit wiser. And we creep, and it creeps in, but we try to live a worldly mindset instead of a mindset which sets its confidence upon God. We're either withdrawing from God or we're trusting Him. And a man's belief determines his conduct. And it is so tempting to fall under tempting economic, under economic experts. How to invest? Do we go into bitcoins? Do we go into oil? Do we go into internet technology? Where do we invest our money? And just use mere reason. It can be okay to use that reason. But remember, Jesus brings something else into the equation. What does it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? Or when he said, where a man's treasure is, there his heart will be. And it is very important that we rise beyond living as mere men. God has brought Jesus into the world to bless us by turning us and lifting us from this world and above this world to live a sort of a real heavenly life. Political insight. It can seem very logical. If we just move here, if we just do this, this will be best. I think of the people that fled the civil war here in Spain. And they fled from the Canary Islands and they moved to Cuba. They fled from one dictator, Franco, and they ended up with another one, Fidel. Isn't it crazy? The reason sort of said, well, let's just leave and just pursue by mere reason a better place for us. And in the end, it wasn't so wise after all. It reminds me of Lot. When Lot saw the lush land and he says, I'll take that. And Abraham said, it's okay, I'll go the other way. And God blessed Abraham. And I'm not saying that we don't make wise decisions, but is God in the equation of the decisions that we make? Or do we just go by the experts? It is one of my favorite singers, Rich Mullins, says, if we can reach beyond the wisdom of this world into the foolishness of God, that foolishness will save those who believe. And sometimes we don't realize that all our cleverness is nothing compared to the wisdom of God. And there's a way to live in the kingdom of God, which is the way of faith. And the Bible is not concerned about individual countries, what they're doing, what they're not doing. But the Bible is concerned that no matter what's going on in this world, God is working out His purposes and His kingdom through it. The Bible simply states that certain things will happen. No reason is given. And in a sense, for Habakkuk, it was the Chaldeans are coming, and I'm not going to tell you why, but they're coming, and I'm going to use their coming and their situation to answer your prayers. And Habakkuk believes it. And he must choose, we must choose, whether we live by mere reason or whether we live by reason with God in the equation, which is called faith and trust. We either live by the Word of God or we don't. I mean, we live in a very sophisticated, in a very scientific way. And as someone here, even in Spain, said, I cannot believe that in a day of science, someone would even bring up God. What a sad thing. And the biblical way is to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And faith means believing the Word of God. And acting on it because it is the Word of God. And it is so amazing to me because the more we get to know the Word of God, the more we get grounded on it, the easier it is. When we begin to see prophecy, when we get to see the witnesses, when we get to see 1,500 years a span for the 66 of the books of the Bible to be written by 40 authors, and we see one theme, and we see everything complementing, no chaos, just order. We realize that it is not so difficult. It is the inspired Word of God. It means believing things because God has said it. And you read Hebrews 11 and you see that by faith Abraham went without knowing where he was going because God asked him. That Moses left Egypt with all his prospect and all the possibilities that Egypt could have brought him. And he just left Egypt. You see Rahab, and that by faith she hid the spies. You see the Samson, by faith conquered. And you see Abraham taking his son upon the hill by faith and going to offer him. And you think to yourself, how could he do that? And how could God even ask? But you see a trusting relationship of Abraham saying, you know what? I don't understand this, but I'm going to do it. And then as he's about to do it, God says to him, stop. Abraham didn't know what God was asking him or why he was asking him. But later on, he understood the verse better than we ever will. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You see, Abraham, for him, his son was as good as dead. By faith, he was given, and he was able to identify with the very heart of the gospel. Isn't that amazing? God told them, and Abraham did it. And it means more. Faith means basing our whole life and trust in God. The secret of the characters of the Bible is that they lived as seeing him who is invisible. You know, it's amazing that we are able to know God as if we would know another person without ever seeing him by writing letters. But even deeper than that, we're able to know God because he resides in us, even though we haven't seen him. You know, many people, there's people that fall in love. They've fallen in love just by writing letters to one another. And they get to know each other. And then they meet. And in the same way, we have Him in us. We live by faith, and we read His Word, and He speaks to us. And we have a deep relationship with Him. We see Him who is invisible. And it says that Moses suffered affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. On the one side was Egypt. On the other side with Egypt with all its worldly wisdom and possibilities. On the other side was the Word of God and what God has spoken to him. And Moses had only the Word of God to act on. But he left Pharaoh, turning his back on Egypt, and the promising future that no doubt he could have had there. And he follows the very calling of God for his life. It looked ridiculous, especially after 10 years. It looked ridiculous, especially after 20 years of shepherding sheep. It looked ridiculous, even up to the 40th year. And then God speaks to him and says, "Now I want you to go back to Egypt." What an amazing thing to watch the people of the Bible walking by faith and not by sight. They put it all on God's Word. They prepared to endure the loss of all things. Early Christians were challenged. In the Roman Empire, they were challenged they had to worship Caesar, to actually say that he was the Kurion, that he was the Lord of everything. But Christians couldn't do that. They realized Jesus was that. And they refused to do that, realizing that some of them would be in prison. Some of them would even have to go to the arena. And why did they refuse? Because they believed the Word of God. They believed the Old Testament promises of the Messiah that would come. But they believed the very Gospels of the fact that the Messiah had come. That he was born in Bethlehem, just like Micah said, that he was raised like a root out of dry ground, that he went on doing good all around them, that he died upon the cross, that he rose, that he ascended. They saw, they believed. How in the world could they say that Caesar was the Lord, when they had had the Word of God and the very experience and the presence of Christ in them? How could they say that Caesar was Lord when they realized that Jesus was the Lord of glory? And on that basis, they would never call Caesar Lord. They risked all by faith, because they believe the Word of God. And this is the Christian life. And this is the choice that is being forced against us today. Today, more and more, the pressure upon us. Are we still so foolish to think on God? To not walk by scientific discovery and just mere reason? Where in reality, we have the Word of God. And I believe in scientific discovery. But we have to be very careful when it just becomes theories. At the end of the day, how many science books have to be revised? How many clever means of doing things have had to be revised? And yet the Word of God has never has had to be changed. Are we still so foolish enough to count on this world for what it offers? What controls our lives? I mean, I never thought New York would go down, that it would be paralyzed like it is. I never thought that tourists would not come this year here. And here we are. We've put so much confidence in the things we thought just naturally happen. It wasn't mere calculation. We planned on the basis of mere calculation without God in the picture. Like it says, hey, let not say tomorrow we will do this thing and that thing and we will stay there 2 years or 3 years or whatever. You don't even know what tomorrow holds. What drives our life? Is it the Word of God? And it is in the Word of God that we realize that life in this world is just transient, that we are just passing on the way to a world to come. That we, the Bible speaks of, our bodies are being transformed. We are just pilgrims growing through the earth. We're passing through time. We are to hold lightly to this world and not be entrenched in it. Again, Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gained the whole world and he lost his soul? Now, obviously, we live in the earth, and it doesn't mean that we live in the earth, but we become people that need to live in the desert like John the Baptist. But it doesn't mean that we turn our backs on the world, but that we have the right view of it. It states that what really matters is the coming world. It is the kingdom of God. It is that which is indestructible. It is that which is sure. It is that which is steady and relentless. We must ask ourselves in the presence of God some serious heart-searching questions. Is my life based on faith in God? Is it based on trust in God? Am I submitting myself to the fact that what I read in the Bible is the Word of God, and it is true? Am I trusting that? Or do I think to myself, oh no, the Bible can't possibly mean that because I believe this. No, really, we should say, I cannot trust myself because the Bible says that, so I must believe the Word of God. After all, it says, the just shall live by faith. And the kingdom of God is spreading. And Jesus taught us to pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. So in these perplexing situations in our life, in all the confusion and the pain that we have experienced and are going to experience, we need to realize that the ultimate cry of our hearts should be, your will be done, your kingdom come. And there are five woes here. There are five woes in Habakkuk, which he speaks towards the Babylonian. In verse 6, woe to him who increases what is not his. Verse 9, woe to him who covets evil gain for his house. Verse 12, woe to him who builds a town with bloodshed, who establishes a city by sin. Verse 15, woe to him who gives drink to his neighbor, pressing him to your bottle, even to make him drunk, that you may look on his nakedness, to shame him, to embarrass him. Or verse 19, woe to him who says to wood, awake, to silence, stone, arise, to make other gods other than the God of the Bible. And you know what? The beauty of it is that we are able to walk in trust that no matter what evil we are experiencing, its days are numbered. Are you being gossiped about? Is someone taking advantage of you? Are the countries around us, are they going against us? Are they speaking evil? Are they unwilling to help? Rather than panic about situations like that, is to realize that just like those five woes were given against Babylon, those five woes are given against the evil that is in this world. You know, for us, maybe what's perplexing is how long it takes. How long it takes, or that God doesn't do something in the timing we thought. Why does he allow this evil to happen? But you know what? I have a theory about this. Have you ever noticed that there's certain police investigations, whether it's for sex trade, whether it's particularly with drugs or with mafia, things that are going on in the world. Have you ever noticed that the police don't act right away when they get a line of investigation? They wait. They watch. They get a case together. Sometimes they actually have to allow crimes to happen in order to dismantle the whole of the gang, the whole of the crime, the whole of the thread of what's going on. Sometimes they have to allow horrific things to happen in order to really bring the whole thing down. They pick up a lead, but they don't act on it right away. They just simply watch. Why do they allow this? Why do they let it go on? Why does it go on? Yeah, it goes on. But like they say, justice is patient. Justice will get you. And in the same way with God, God allows these things to happen, but it's not because he's ignorant of it. It's not because he's not going to act on it. It is because he is either patient for people to be saved and people to change their mind and for people to be transformed, or because he is just, it's just a matter of time before he deals with it. And this is just so positive for us that one day, not only is God going to judge man who refuses to turn from evil, not only is God going to judge nations that refuse to turn from evil, just like Pharaoh, just like Nebuchadnezzar, just like Belshazzar, just like the Herodian family, just like Egypt, Babylon, Greece, Rome, just like God dealt with all those situations, God will deal with the world in the future. But look at it positively. It just simply means that God is going to get rid of evil. That God is going to bring justice. That justice will prevail. The righteousness will be done and reign on the earth. The kindness, love, grace, mercy, tenderheartedness, meekness will prevail. They will rule. They will be the very atmosphere of the kingdom of God. And one day, the prospect that we have is that we are going to live in the very atmosphere of God, the very heavenly joys. No tears, no pain, no evil, just the knowledge of good, not the knowledge of good and evil. That is what is said in the Bible, what is prophesied, what is stated emphatically. God is going to deal with evil. And the encouragement for our lives is that we can turn. If you do not know Jesus, maybe you're on a path of destruction. Maybe you're on the path of just self-destruction or other people's destruction, just like Saul of Tarsus, just like the demon-possessed man in the cemetery who was cutting himself, who would break chains, who will be naked, and then Jesus just touched him and he was seen clothed and in his right mind. Or Saul of Tarsus, who would put Christians in prison, who would persecute and get letters in order to kill Christians. And yet Jesus met him on the road to Damascus and completely transformed them. Maybe you who listen today, maybe you feel impotent. I don't even know how to change myself. I don't even know what to do. And I'm sure that God, after, if he knew everything that I've done, all he wants to do is just judge me. Well, you know what? Right now, what he wants to do is he wants to reach out a hand of friendship and he wants to forgive you. But he doesn't just want to forgive you. He wants to adopt you and bring you near. He doesn't just want to adopt you and bring you near. He wants to change you in the very depths of your heart and make you into a new person. But not only that, he wants to give you a living hope for eternal life where you realize that this life is just for a moment. Oh man, have we been brought down by the circumstances of this world? Let God raise you. Let him bless you by turning you from your weaknesses, from your emptiness, from your sin. And if you know the Lord today, I want to encourage you. It is two choices we have in life. And we start as babies believing, but you know what? We continue to grow in trust. Are you walking by trust? Do you have trust, belief, reliance? Are you fighting a fight of faith against the works of evil? To say, you know what? Though he slay me, like Job said, he lost everything. He lost his family. He lost his possessions, he lost his health, and he even lost the encouragement of his wife. And he said, though he slay me, still I will trust him. It is a wonderful thing not to give God our sacrifices, not to give God our money, not to give God our you know, just our deeds, but to give God what He deserves most, which is our trust. May God bless you, and may you learn to trust Him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your great love and grace. Thank you, Lord, that you're not the God that's out there. You're the God that is near, close to our hearts. You're in the living room. You're outside of the heart, and you want to fellowship with us. Oh, Lord, help us to realize that we can know the invisible through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May God bless you.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretched treasure. How great the pain of searing cross. The Father turns His face away. Sons to glory, Lord, you're the man upon the cross, my sin upon His shoulder, ashamed. Light of the world, you stand. step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. And here I am.
We pray that this was encouraging to you and that it will be also a challenge to you to walk by faith, to realize that we are not under obligation, and definitely it's not worth trusting in the uncertainty, no matter how strong it looks at times, of this life. The Bible says that the grass withers and the flower fades, but the Word of God remains forever. And what a great privilege to an exhortation in our lives to be people who trust Him, who trust Him through difficult situations. Like Job said, though He slay me, yet I will trust Him. Realizing we deserve nothing, yet He's good to us. Realizing that we have an enemy against us, but He will conquer evil. That we are under His loving sovereign hand, and that we are in His grip. May God bless you so much, and may you continue to grow in that wonderful life of faith. God bless you.
So do